There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is Dubai Today.
Live from the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens.
Only on DubaiEye 103.8.
Yes, hello and welcome to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa. We are coming to you live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens with the best seat in the house. We are overlooking the pitch at the biggest social sporting event anywhere in the world. It's not just about the action on the pitch, but you've got a record 250 invitational teams who are participating. It really is. Oh, it started already. Very, very exciting. But it really is a rugby festival, if ever there was one. Plenty to do for the whole family. And we're going to be chatting to Chris McCarty and Robbie Greenfield about what's going on here throughout the weekend at the Rugby Sevens. But of course, being the Thursday brunch, it is all about the food. And today we are talking crowd pleasers, those tried and tested dishes that you love to make when everyone is coming over to your place. Joining me today will be world-renowned chef Sean Connolly, who is bringing his love of great food to Sean Connolly at Dubai Opera, and the one and only singer, musician, all-round wonderful entertainer Stewie Kennedy. But we want you to tell us what your favorite dishes are to serve up to a hungry crowd. What makes them so popular? Plus, in our mystery ingredient competition, you could win that 500 dirham voucher from French Bakery, plus two tickets to the Dubai Winter Festival. Be part of the action here at the Rugby Sevens and get in touch by texting 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye app. this is so fantastic. We are here live at the Emirates Airline Rugby Sevens. Stewie, hello and welcome to the show.
I'd like to say I'm paying attention, but I'm watching what's going on outside. The girls' rugby is on. It's Pool C, I think. It's Fiji versus Ireland. Ireland are 15-0 up, and they're just battering each other. It's amazing. The girls are really, really tough. We was here last year doing the show, and I tell you, it's just amazing. These girls, they look so, I'll say, feminine when they're out, without the kit on, and they just sort of like walk on with the national kits on, and oh my word, they smash each other to pieces. It's amazing. It's how ferocious it really is.
They are really going for it, and it is amazing to watch them going at it. But this is so fast. You know, you have to remember the Rugby Sevens, really fast and furious. Seven teams, 7 minutes side. And it's just, it is all going on, as you say, Stewie, with Ireland and Fiji at the moment in front of us. And we have a perfect view of the pitch at the moment and the action. But we've got to not get distracted by that, because we do have a lot of food to talk about today. We're going to be talking those crowd pleasers. Do you cook, Stu?
Do I cook? If I had any friends, I'd cook for them.
But yeah, well, okay. Because that's what we're going to be talking about. You know, those things that you put out there for your friends, for your family, and to make sure that everyone gets fed. And what is the most popular thing that you do put out there? Ooh, some fabulousness has just arrived with Chef Sean Connolly. He is taking his seat. He's going to be with us in just a moment. I believe there are lemon tarts in those boxes.
I'm sure that's the name of one of the teams as well, actually. One of the
lemon tarts?
One of the 250 invitational teams. One of them's going to be called that, I guarantee. It'll be a group of big, muscular men.
I think you've moved on to the Iraq Bank quiz night already, because you're the MC this year. But, yeah, we've got to think of a team name for that. But we've got teams on the sidelines playing, kids' teams as well. It is family day, so it is free to get in. Make sure you get down here, because the atmosphere is incredible. It's like this big carnival atmosphere, lots of F&B options for everybody. But this is what we're going to be talking about in just a moment with Chris McCarty, Robbie Greenfield. They are on the ground at the moment. They're checking out what's going on. They're going to be giving us an update in just a moment. But plenty happening today. And we are going to be, of course, giving away that 500 dirham voucher for French Bakery.
500 dirham voucher.
Yes. Plus two tickets to the Dubai Winter Festival. That is all coming your way. So you've got to make sure that you listen out for those clues for the mystery ingredient. We're still running the mystery ingredient competition. That is all happening. And so in just a moment, we're going to be talking to Robbie and Chris.
Well, they're going to tell us that Ireland just scored again, and now they're 20-0 up.
20-0 up for Ireland.
3.5 minutes left to go.
In the women's rugby.
Yeah.
I've never watched women's rugby before.
You know what? It's brutal. It really is. And this being family day here at the Sevens, I mean, Dubai Rugby Sevens is an institution, as we know.
Yes.
The family day, I don't know why these grandstands are not full of people. I mean, I know it's still a little bit early, but I mean, the women's rugby is so good.
So
it's
good.
It's so good. It's so technical. Good. They should be here. They should be learning. I mean, if you've got kids that want to get into sport, what a great way to introduce them to a sport.
It really is brilliant. Really is brilliant watching this. So make sure you do get down here for the long weekend. Get down here from today. We would love to see you. Come and say hello and join in the action. Plenty coming up on Thursday brunch with me, Sally and Stewie.
Yeah, and we're not going to share our lemon tarts. If you do come down, we're not sharing our lemon tarts, okay? You won't be able to get with us. We're in a special area because we're important, obviously. And everyone else, when you come here, you will just be able to watch us eat our lemon tarts from the gantry.
But you will be able to get your own fabulous food, because there's plenty on offer here. Stewie, don't put people off. That's terrible. You're so mean. Yeah, well, that's all coming up on the Thursday brunch on Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. Yes, we are live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. All of the action is taking place starting today. Make sure you get down here, because it is amazing. It's fast, it's furious, lots of fun for the whole family. It's family day, so do bring the kids. There's a lot going on that you can get into. But now it is finally time to say hello to Chef Sean Connolly. Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you? Nice to see you both.
We're great. We're so glad you finally made it, and you brought goodies as well, which we're very excited about. That's the most important part of any interview.
Of course, because Thursday's your food day, right?
Yes, it's the Thursday brunch, and this is your first time on our Thursday brunch, which we love.
Thank you.
We're glad you could join us. And we've got Igor as well with us. Hello, Igor.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Great to have you. We've brought you along especially because I got the chance, actually, the other night with our producers, Joe and Aisha, to go to Sean Connolly at Dubai Opera. And not only did we have really, really great food, which we'll get into in just a moment, but amazing drinks too. So, which is why we had to bring you along to discuss that, because there's a lot to discuss, surprisingly, when you're talking about drinks.
I didn't get an invite.
Yeah, well, next time.
You're just not good looking enough.
No.
You've got to be hot to get Sean Connolly to Dubai Opera, mate. That's how we roll.
And therefore, we got in. But Sean, you know, it's great to see you here. You're a bit of a rugby fan. You used to play yourself.
I played both codes, league and union. Wasn't very good at it. Not very dexterous with the ball. But I'm mean at making like a really good fairy cake or a sticky bun. And that's where I found my forte.
I'm so glad you changed.
Normally, people that make fairy cakes, they would go from rugby to football.
I'm the least sporting bloke on the planet, unfortunately. But any sporting occasion, I'll come and hang out with my mates and eat pies and watch a game.
We love it. But, you know, I want to ask you about your background, because it is a really interesting story. You're from Yorkshire originally.
I am.
But you found your way all the way to Sydney, Australia, my hometown. And I want you to tell that story.
How did
that happen?
I remember I was watching Alan Wicker when I was 13 years old with my grandfather, Ted, and he was on the QE2. He was a fantastic kind of travel guide. And he was on QE2 telling everyone about the caviar fridge that had a third of the world's caviar on the QE2. And I said to my granddad, a third of the world's caviar. Can you imagine it?
Unbelievable.
And I remember looking at my granddad and saying, I'm going to work in a big ship one day. I'm going to be a chef. And when I was 19, I was the chef on the QE2. A chef, not the chef. And eventually I became the caviar boy. So I was in charge of that caviar fridge. I can't quite believe it. I kind of visualised it, and I was there. So it was pretty cool. And we went around the world a couple of times on the ship. I arrived in Sydney. I fell in love with Sydney. It's quite beautiful. And I thought, this is as far away from Yorkshire as you can possibly get. And everyone speaks English, and it's really sunny.
It is pretty amazing. And you in particular found yourself in Coogee. That's where you call home.
Yeah.
Coogee Beach.
Coogee Beach.
If you haven't been there, it is kind of just stunning. It is
quite beautiful. Just along the cliffs there. You know, I walk down there regularly with my friends. We go from Coogee to Bondi.
Yes.
It's a good hour walk along the cliffs, but it is one of the most beautiful places in the
Waverly,
world.
Waverley, Bronte.
That's
you do
right.
All of that.
Yeah. Glamorama.
Do the coastline. Along the... Oh, it's just stunning. So beautiful. Some of the most beautiful beaches in the world there. But I want to come to your... Because you are well known in Australia. You've got several restaurants in Sydney, in Adelaide, in New
Byron.
Zealand as well, in Byron Bay as well. But, I mean, where did it all start for you and your love of food?
Well, I think most chefs, it's that kind of cliche, cooking at the elbow of your grandmother back in Yorkshire. And I really fell in love with cooking there. She had a huge heart, lots of fun, a great cook. And then I kind of went on from there. My mum, we used to do buffets and stuff, you know, with families and like family occasions. And I'd be cooking there, doing all the gattos and the cakes. And then my dad, who was an academic, could see I'd never follow in his footsteps, got me a job in a 5-star hotel, working in a prawn cocktail section, slicing cucumbers, wedging lemons. Stop laughing, you.
Prawn cocktail.
Aye, you can't beat a good prawn cocktail.
That's a British wedding staple.
It is.
It is. Oh, it's a big deal, the prawn cocktail.
And it's had a renaissance.
Yeah.
Can I ask,
what did you take from Yorkshire to Australia with you? You must have taken some stuff with you in your cooking ability and brain. What did you take and give to the Australians from Yorkshire?
You know what? I think when I left Yorkshire, I was just a roast beef and Yorkshire pudding chef. That's all I could really cook. But when I got to Australia, there was such a kind of modern movement with food, and everything was kind of really fresh and vibrant. And I don't think I really brought much with me, other than an eagerness to want to learn to cook.
Because that's the thing about Australia. We focus so much on the produce itself and really fresh produce, and just the quality of it has to be outstanding, because when it is, you need to do very little to it, don't you?
Well, that's true. But, you know, and thinking the late 80s when I arrived there, you'll remember as well, it was kind of like modern Australian. There was bush tucker going on. Yep. There was Asian influences. You couldn't be any further away from Yorkshire puddings and roast beef, really. It was like it was just coming from all areas. Like, was it? It was like... Yeah.
But what I love as well is that you did a series on SBS.
Yeah.
About multicultural food.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Because, you know, Australia is such a multicultural place.
It is.
And we love our food. And so we are into, you know, trying everything from everywhere. Take us through a little bit of that and what you got to explore.
Yeah, well, that TV show, My Family Feast, changed my life and the way I learned about cooking. And it kind of changed my view on food. I think, you know, I came to fame, rose to fame through molecular and avant-garde cuisine. And I was cooking for me and like maybe 1% of the nation that was interested in 50 moves on the plate, more moves than John Travolta. And then I realised that, you know, really... Stop laughing. So
I think you need to elaborate on the, you know, 50 moves on a plate.
Well, you know, like... It's just there's too much going on a plate. Yeah. No smoke, no foam, no bubble, no flowers. That's how I roll now. Just super simple food. But what I realised was that food's a vehicle for bringing people together. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is family, bringing people together, creating conversation, celebration, and then the food's like number five. And I've taken that along with me in my future career with food as well, and in my other restaurants. Food's like number four on the list of importance. Lighting, ambience, music, people are the most important.
Absolutely. I hear a lot of chefs say that as well, that it is about the full experience and making sure you have a great time there.
It's important.
Yeah, that is so important.
That's why we brought Igor along.
Yeah.
Because he's in charge of the drinks.
Of course. Very, very important. Igor, I want to bring you into the discussion and just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from.
I actually came over here from New Zealand, but originally my family's from Russia. I don't know. I think it was... I don't believe in it, but I felt like it was fate. I met Sean in one of his restaurants in Auckland. And at that time, I was working for a New Zealand producer of spirits. And I was down in Wellington, and my boss called me up and said, you got to come up to Auckland right now and meet this chef and do a cocktail presentation for him.
He cut your holiday short, didn't he? You were
cycling in
a pub with a girlfriend doing something romantic.
We were in a...
And you got the call.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel bad about that day.
And she flew
Sorry
down
about that.
Specifically to spend the weekend with me and ended up spending the weekend on her own. And I spent it with Sean.
That's all your fault.
Who's she with now?
Yeah, married now.
Wow.
Yeah.
But not to him.
And so I moved on from that job and came to Dubai, and then Sean found out that I was here, gave me a call and said, come join the team, and here we are.
And when you come here, Sean, you came to Dubai. What was it about Dubai that attracted you and you thought, my next restaurant is going to be here?
I didn't know my next restaurant was going to be here, but
that happened?
Well, a guy approached me that I used to work with years ago back in Sydney, and he said, come to Dubai, look at these restaurants, and there was nothing really that grabbed my fancy that really, really looked like it was going to be exciting. And then they offered me the Opera House, which is a landmark location, one of the most beautiful buildings in Dubai. It's like, it doesn't really get any better than this. And it was a vanilla box, so it was like completely blank, so we could put our own stamp on it. And give the restaurant a little bit of kind of Sydney cool, a bit of Australian cool.
Yeah, you've done an amazing job with it, and
thank you.
The way it's designed and just everything about it, and the way that you bring people in, it's so inviting. It's interesting. It's exciting to be there as well. There are so many different elements, as you say. It's not just about the food, which is amazing, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But you know, it's the whole package. And great drinks as well, not to forget. Stewie, clue number two, please.
Guess the ingredient.
Clue number two, live from the Rugby Sevens today, is during the Middle Ages, the leaves and flowers from today's mystery ingredient were believed to protect against nightmares and were placed under pillows to ensure pleasant dreams.
Yeah, we are back live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Lots going on the pitch in front of us. England versus Russia at the moment. We're just into the second minute as we speak. It's 5-0 at the moment.
Just that one try scored a couple of minutes ago and 1 minute left in the first half.
Yep.
England, you'd expect to actually really be more ahead in this game. They've put on all the pressure. But the Russians are coming back. They're only one score behind at the minute, and it looks like they could have a break on.
Stuart Kennedy, in case you haven't noticed, is here.
She's
with
gonna
me.
Score. It's going to be level in the first half. It's 5-5. And will Russia?
It's the Thursday brunch,
there you go.
Stewie.
They've nailed it. Calm down.
We've got Chef Igor's Sean Connolly here as well. Igor is with us. He is the bar manager at Sean Connolly Dubai Opera. But we left off asking you, Sean, about your background in food, of course, in Australia, in New Zealand as well. But you have quite a love, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why you live so close to the sea. But a love of seafood, really great seafood and oysters. It's kind of your, almost
one
your
of my things.
One of your things.
One of my things,
duck
yeah.
fat is your other thing.
Sorry?
Duck fat is your other
duck
thing.
Duck fat's another thing.
Which
it's
is, I want to ask you. Yes, yeah. I want to ask you about that. But, you know, your oysters, and you've just come back, actually. Just been on a trip to Dibba.
Yeah, I had a really exciting day down there. 2 days ago, I went down to Dibba Bay in Fujairah. And it was really interesting because there's not many suppliers and growers that, and farmers that actually produce things for the local market. And it's the only oyster grower in the UAE. So it's really exciting. It's a Scottish lad called Remy, and he's been in business now for about 12 weeks, probably as long as I've been in my restaurant. So I thought that's kind of cute. And, you know, he's just starting off in his career. And he's got the amazing oysters down there, as good as anything you'll find across the globe. Very good oysters.
What makes a great oyster?
Oh, good question. They're all kind of different. They've all got different characters. But, you know, I like when I shuck an oyster, I like to see lots of seawater in there. And I like to see them very round and plump and a full shell full of you know, oyster meat.
And, you know, they're going to be very salty in that way because they've got, they're carrying the salt of the ocean,
they
aren't they?
They are. But you don't drink the oyster. You don't drink the seawater. Yeah, you tip it off. Yeah. You still get that beautiful kind of layering of oyster, of seawater rolling around your palate. It's quite beautiful.
Are you in for oysters? You love your oyster?
I'm not keen on oysters, but I'm happy for everyone else to eat them.
Okay, fair enough. But something else that we noticed in your menus, duck fat.
Yes.
It's good for the soul.
It
Tell
is
us
good
why
for the soul.
It's good for the soul.
Oh, you know, it just makes you feel good, doesn't it, duck fat? Everything tastes good in duck fat. It's kind of sweet, meaty goodness. I cook salmon in duck fat. I cook potatoes in duck fat. I cook fish and chips. Cooking duck fat, because you know, back in Yorkshire where I come from, we always used to use beef fat or beef dripping, but I just thought it was another level up of luxury to use duck fat because it's a little bit expensive.
It is very luxurious and we had your duck fat chips, and they are out of this world.
Yeah,
the crispiness that you get.
Thank you. But you know, it doesn't come easy. Every country is different, and every country is a different style of potato. So you can never kind of rest on your laurels when you come to a new country or open a new restaurant in a new area. You've got to find the right potatoes that are going to cook up nice and crispy, and you've got to use different techniques to make them to get to that level. And they're pretty cool, these chips. I'm pretty happy.
So when you first started, you knew you were going to open up this restaurant. How long did it take you to sort of like source the right suppliers in this area? I mean, you must have spent a lot of time looking at the guys here.
Yeah, no. It was about a year of going backwards and forwards and working out who the right people were and finding the right people to trust that are going to give you the best of the best and give you the right stories. I really like to know where the potatoes come from or where my fish comes from. So it's all about the farm and knowing, you know, the journey of how the fish or the meat gets to me.
And particularly, like, it's a concern for a lot of people and a lot of chefs, but sustainability, particularly when you're talking about seafood.
That's right, yeah. I'm a big fan of sustainability. It does help a lot. There's some amazing seafood coming in from overseas at the moment, some amazing stuff. There's also some local stuff coming in from... Fajira as well, I think, at the moment. Some sea bass farms and stuff like that that I've heard of, but I haven't really sourced that yet. That's my next trip.
I'm loving it. Oh, so good. But we had a few different items off the menu, which I'm going to ask you about. So the saltbush organic lamb cutlets all the way from South Australia.
That's right. Yeah. So
that's what I had, and it was brilliant.
Good, right? We do good lamb chops out of Australia. Like, obviously, New Zealand's up there as well. It's famous for their lamb. But I wanted to get things that were reminiscent of my story, if you like. So wherever possible, I brought things over from Australia. Mm. But I was really pleased to see that they're easy to get, the saltbush lamb. So basically, the saltbush picks up the flavour from the ocean, and then the flavour you pick up in the flavour of the lamb.
Yeah. Oh, it's just gorgeous. There are so many different bits and pieces on the menu, which kind of blew us away.
Right.
But before we kind of keep going, because our theme today, I want to ask you about this as well, is cooking for a big crowd. When
yes.
you've got your friends coming over, because in Dubai, the winter time, people are coming over, they're traveling into Dubai, you're inviting friends over, you're cooking and usually sitting outside enjoying the perfect weather that it is at this time of year. What do you tend to cook when you're trying to please a lot of people?
You know, we just go straight to the barbie, like throw a snag on the barbie. Do you know what snags are over here? A snag? It's a sausage.
See, I'm an Australian, of course I know
you do.
What that
Sorry,
means.
I just thought I'd clarify.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard shrimp. Throw shrimp on the barbie.
Well, we do throw shrimps on the prawns on the barbie as well.
Oh, good.
But, yeah,
prawn is amazing.
Yeah, just a good snag, lamb cutlets and some grilled prawns.
Throw them all on.
Bit of lemon. See you later. How good is that?
That is good. Mm. And it's also about keeping it simple as well.
Yes.
Because when you're cooking for a lot of people, you do need to keep it simple. You don't want to overcomplicate stuff.
No, you want to enjoy the party. I usually get my mates to come in and start turning the... I said, just look after these tongs, turn that. Before you know it, the job's done.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the... Yeah, just sat down and they're doing all the work. It's great.
Nice one. I like that, delegating the tasks.
I've made a career out of it.
Yeah. Yes, you certainly have. Igor, have you got anything that you love to cook up, or is your thing drinks for everybody? Is that what you do?
I do drinks, but I think when you get together, it needs to be something that can be shared as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as I enjoy making one drink for that particular guest that's in the bar, when I'm at home, I really don't want to be stuck doing that for all of my guests. So I'd suggest, you know, make something up together that everybody can go and enjoy themselves.
Fruit punch.
Yeah.
There you go.
The big bowl comes out.
The big bowl, yeah,
exactly. For the fruit punch. What do you put in a good fruit punch? Without
Geezer.
The fresh fruit,
yeah,
I guess.
The fresh fruit.
Cranberry juice.
Whatever is in season, to be honest, that's the best way to go.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. It's good to look for whatever is in season. But we want to get your ideas on what's the best thing to cook for a crowd. 4001 or on the app is how you can get in touch. Yeah, we're going to be shaking it up in just a moment. Plus, getting into some lemon tarts. That's all coming up. But before we do that, wait, I almost forgot. We've got another clue to give out. That's very
easy. Guess the ingredient.
Third clue.
Clue number three, yes. Today's mystery ingredient has many health benefits and has been used for soothing wounds and was used on bandages during World War I as an important antiseptic to the soldiers to prevent infection. It has also been used to treat coughs, congestion, stomach pains and gout.
Is there anything that this particular ingredient isn't good for?
I don't think this exists. I think you just made this up.
It does exist, and I love it. I'll give you a clue. I have it for breakfast.
Cornflakes?
Not quite. Welcome back to the second hour of Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa. And as you can hear, we are coming to you live from the Emirates Airline. Dubai Rugby Sevens, lots of action, lots going on. The atmosphere is electric. Families everywhere enjoying the long weekend here. The teams are out on the pitch at the moment. It is free entry, so make sure you bring the kids and come down and say hello with me at the Thursday brunch table today. Chef Sean Connolly, who brings his love of great food to Sean Connolly Dubai at Dubai Opera, plus singer, musician, all-round wonderful entertainer Stuart Kennedy is here too. We'll also be keeping you updated on all that's happening on the ground at the Rugby Sevens with Chris McCarty and Robbie Greenfield, and we'll be finding out what it's like to mix drinks at Sean Connolly Dubai in just a sec. We're loving hearing about your favourite dishes that you like to serve up to a hungry crowd and what makes them so popular. We are about to get mixing, Stewie.
Well, you know what? This is great. We've stepped away from the broadcast area just for a minute. I'm with Sean, I'm with Igor, and we have got that's a lovely little mixing cocktail thing there. That's rose gold? That's very posh, isn't it?
Something like that.
So what are you going to make for us today?
So today I'm making the Birds and Bees, which is one of our non-alcoholic cocktails at Sean Connolly at Dubai Opera. It involves Manuka honey, Granny Smith apple juice, lemon juice, a bit of thyme, and orange and honey droplets, which are non-alcoholic food flavorings. Yeah.
Right, well, I think we should let you get mixed in.
We had this, actually, the other night at Sean Connolly Dubai Opera. Aisha actually ordered this drink, and my goodness, it is really amazing. The flavors kind of, it sounds really, really basic and simple. There's not a lot of ingredients, Sean, but actually, in your mouth, it really does some incredible things. The flavors, I even was going, is there cinnamon in this? There's like this earthiness to it. It tastes like a forest, we were saying. There's all kind of things going on. It's beautiful.
I'm speechless. Everything I was going to say about the drink, you've just said now. You've taken all that stuff away. But no, it's quite a beautiful drink. And with anything, really, I think it's just about the simplicity of putting something together. And that's the skill that Igor brings. And any good chef as well, it's like it's what you don't do to a dish rather than what you're adding too many things to it.
It really was something, because I kept trying to taste it, and I kept trying to pinpoint things here and there, and we kept asking. They're like, no, it's the Manuka honey. There is thyme in there, and it does beautiful, beautiful things in your mouth, as you're about to taste.
And you can hear in the background, it's being shaken up right now. He finished it, and we're going to drink. Look at this.
Yep, he's pouring it in.
Did you bring
now.
These glasses in as well? Hey, that's proper prepared.
That's the one thing you didn't get confiscated.
They're very strict here at the.
This would have felt weird drinking this out of a paper cup.
It
so
would,
I'm glad
would.
You brought this.
We're,
I'm glad
we're
you brought this in.
Definitely going to do this drink justice.
Proper glasses as well. We're going to come round back over here this way. We're about to drink it as well. But it just kind of makes you think. What is it that? How do you mix these things? How do you put these ingredients
how do you
together?
Start? I suppose you start with a base and then build from that. You kind of know what kind of flavour you want to achieve, and you know what base ingredients you can stick in.
Well, that's right, and there's a little bit of trial and error at the same time. Some things work, some things don't, and that these things don't come easy. Like it's a sixth sense for Igor and myself when we're cooking and when he's creating his cocktails. But you try it three or four times, and you give it to your friends, and you take feedback on, take all the positive feedback, and you kind of twist it. So eventually, it's something delightful and delectable.
I had a berry kind of pomegranate type of drink, a mocktail, and that was great. But nothing like the Birds and the Bees, which we're about
to taste
now.
It's a cute name,
right,
as well.
Yeah, it just kind of describes it perfectly. You're thinking, the forest vibe. You're thinking of that earthiness that comes through there. And Sean is gesturing, bring over the drinks. Where are they? Some of those dishes that we did taste at Sean Connolly. Oh, mine is coming now. Mine is coming over.
Ooh, look at that. It looks delicious, doesn't it?
And Aisha is, of course, she's on Facebook Live, and you can see what's going on there. We're all taking a
I'm
sip.
Smell
it first, yeah.
You
can smell the honey. It's almost citrusy as well, but there's no citrus in it.
Some lime in it, I think.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Oh, it's fresh, and it's just a shot of, crystalline kind of flavour in your mouth.
It's
but then
divine.
It gets earthy. It's divine.
Heavenly, heavenly.
It is heavenly. So thank we're you. Enjoying our Birds and the Bees right now from Igor. Well done, Igor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tell us how we were asking Sean about this, but how you think about the flavors, how you put them together, and how you design these drinks.
This was actually the first time I had to come up with a menu of non-alcoholic drinks. And I wanted to approach it from a very serious point of view, that it's still a drink that you should be able to enjoy. Say, if you're not driving, you can just have one of these and still feel like you're having an experience. And that's what I did here. Basically, my philosophy is using the best ingredients and the freshest ones as well. That will make you the best quality drinks. And Manuka honey comes from New Zealand specifically, and I believe that Granny Smith apple was first cultivated in Australia, so yeah. There is that connection as well.
That's a beautiful Anzac story, mate.
Thank you.
But you've got that freshness, you know, of the apple going on in there. You've got the honey, you've got the lime in there, I think, as well. It's just gorgeous, and you just go through those flavours in your mouth. I love it so much.
It's a very clean flavour. When you're eating, it complements food beautifully, and you feel good after it. You know, you've had a really nice, healthy lunch.
It's actually healthy for you as well.
It is.
So good for you.
Vitamin C.
Nothing's better than Manuka honey as well.
That's right. That's
Stewie's going in for another sip.
Yeah, I thought, when I first saw the ingredients, I thought this might be a bit too sweet, but it's not at all.
Not at all.
No. It's, like you say, it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Nice balance.
Yeah, perfect balance. We love it. I'm going to ask you, when people go to Sean Connolly, apart from this, what should they be going and making sure that they taste?
The oysters, for sure.
The oysters.
Good lad.
Sean, the duck fat chips.
I've got a really wicked lamb shoulder. It's quite delicious. Yeah. A 1 kilo lamb shoulder that's good to share. It's very popular.
There's a lobster burger that is quite divine.
Lobster burger's pretty good.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, my album's a bit like a status quo album. It's just got like all my top hits, my greatest hits.
For all of those who weren't born in the 1960s, Status Quo are a rock band based in the UK.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Were they just on tour here? They were just here.
Well, one of them was.
One of them was. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so that's what we were having, and so we had the lamb cutlets as well. We had the lobster burger. We had the sea bass. Mm-hmm. The sea bass was fantastic.
Yeah, because we served that with braised lettuce. I love a bit of cooked lettuce.
Yes,
it's a real kind of classic French way
of cooking. I'd never had the braised lettuce before. To me, it was just, you know, you think, oh, cooked lettuce, but actually...
Oh, but it's just like a beautiful, sweet cabbage, just nicely cooked, caramelized in a pan with a little bit of butter, lots of salt and pepper, and then we just add a splash of water and a lid on, and it kind of, it caramelizes and braises and steams. It's just a beautiful way of eating lettuce.
It really is lovely. Something else we had was the iceberg lettuce. I think it's got like aioli or something on it.
A buttermilk dressing.
Buttermilk dressing.
Yes, so it's got buttermilk and onion powder and lemon juice in there.
Delicious.
And chives. It's really, really fresh. And you expect it to be kind of a bit cloying. It looks a little bit like a heavy mayonnaise.
Yeah, but it's not.
Dripping,
so light.
It's really fresh, yeah. It makes you feel good at the end of it, yeah.
We love that. We love that. So much to savour at the table at Sean Connolly Dubai Opera. But it is time for the next clue.
Guess the ingredients.
Stewie, number four.
Number four. Today's mystery ingredient has a lemony, pine and peppery flavour with minty notes, which blends perfectly with vegetables, fish, poultry, meat, sauces and stuffing, and comes in both dried and fresh form.
There are so many ways to use this incredible ingredient. I love it so much. It's got to be one of my favourites as well. I know what it is, obviously. We are watching the women's rugby at the moment. Australia are up 22 to Japan's nil, 3 minutes in, almost 4 minutes in at the moment in front of us here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. The action's amazing, Stewie. I love this.
This is good, but you know what? The Japanese team are half the size of the Australian
team.
So,
all right. Then.
I mean, the Australians are the ones that are going to win. We reckon. Remember, Chris said they're the ones that are going to win the tournament.
Well, no. Didn't he say the South Africans
for the
men? Okay, we'll see. Hello. Yes, we are back with you here live from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. It's all happening here. 27 now, nil to Japan.
You're very happy about that, aren't you?
I'm so happy.
Australia.
I know. Okay,
yeah, you're very
can't
happy.
Really compare, you know, Japan and Australia. But still, that's really good news for me. I'm very excited. So it's all happening down here. And as we were just mentioning a little bit earlier, we're talking some food news. And this is a great story coming out of Dubai. So this is after noticing young newcomers to the country who were looking for jobs through a recruitment agency in the area. Managers of the restaurant called Ful Hummus This is in Bolsha, in the Bolsha area, decided to do an act of kindness. They said, if you can't buy food, it's for free. This is a gift from God, from Allah, reads a small note written in English and Arabic, hung on the Fulu Hummus restaurant in Al Basha in Dubai. And the owner, who is Jordanian, Fadi Ayyad, told Khalij Times that he noticed labourers from nearby construction sites and newcomers who were looking for jobs through a recruitment office that was located next to the restaurant. They'd occasionally pass by the area. So, you know, that there was a young man once who came through the restaurant who ordered a small sandwich, but he actually started crying when a large meal was served to him instead. So it's just kind of like, it comes back to your point, Sean, about how food really, it's about goodwill, it's about bringing people together.
That's right, it's about love and caring.
It's about
and
love.
Giving.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so
stories
beautiful.
Stories like that restore your faith in humanity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful to see that. I mean, Fulu Hummus, it's the most humble food in the Arab world. Mm-hmm. But to give that, to think, I can do something.
It's a beautiful gesture.
Yeah, I can do something for you, I'm going to give you that. So Ayyad says a lot of people, especially young job seekers new to the country, come with limited budgets that sometimes don't accommodate their food expenses. So we thought of offering support in a simple way. So I'm just loving that. So since the note was recently put up, the restaurant has served free food for over 10 visitors a day. I imagine it's more than that now, from labourers and young job seekers to families in need of food who find it difficult to afford. Mm. And he said as well, this helps us to stop waste as well within the restaurant, because we're giving food to those who need it. We don't need to waste anymore.
Mm. Wonderful.
There are a couple of like the bigger chains are doing that kind of thing, where you can you can gift a coffee or gift something. You can put one on, I don't know what it's called, you can put one on reservation. You can reserve one. Buy one and reserve one. You walk out with one coffee. Yeah. And then when like a homeless guy comes in, they will say, obviously this isn't in the UAE, you can get a free coffee.
Mm. Right.
So it's on reserve for people.
Mm. Yeah.
And is that also that other story about those kind of urban foragers, where they collect, or you know, the supermarkets, they waste so much food, and like, you know, fresh food in packets goes in the skip. But people, I know it sounds weird, but they're living out the skip there. They're picking up the fresh packets of, you know, sandwiches and bread and eggs that are going in there that haven't been touched and, you know, completely wrapped. But
they're actually perfectly good, aren't they?
They're actually perfectly good, yeah.
Hasn't that been outlawed in France now? I think the law
is throw
you,
out.
Can't
yeah,
throw
you can't
out.
Throw out.
You've got to give it.
Yeah, like, give it to someone.
Exactly.
And it makes sense as well. Makes sense.
It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of France.
France,
yeah.
Mike.
Good old France. Paris, in fact. So the world's best restaurant has been ranked. This is on the prestigious annual La Liste ranking. So can you guess which one it is?
I've got no idea, but I'm excited to find out.
Are you? Okay. It is, in fact, the celebrated Paris restaurant, a French chef, Guy Savoy. So his restaurant has been voted the best in the world for the second consecutive year by La Liste. It's interesting because this ranking was set up as a more scientific and reliable rival to the British-based 50 best restaurants ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on an aggregation of reviews by food guides and critics.
Mm.
So it's not a surprise, is it? La Monnaie. So that is the best French restaurant. Your thoughts on that, Sean?
Guy Savoy is a wonderful chef. He's done so much for French cooking and the cooking around the world. He's a hero of mine, so I'm very pleased that he's won. I'm not surprised.
Tell us why he's a hero of yours, because I know that
he just cooks
Gordon
classic.
Ramsay has trained with him as well.
Yeah.
So he's a very, very important chef.
I think it's just the way he cooks, his classic style of cooking, the less is more approach to food. And also, you know, he buys local. I mean, French food is the best in the world, right? That's where, for me, where my my training began. And I love cooking French food. But Guy Savoy is just an amazing bloke.
No, so well done to him. So the score that he received was 99.75 out of 100. But if you want to taste the 11-course colours, textures and flavours menu, that is going to set you back €395 or 1,700 dirhams. Is it worth it?
I think it is.
Three brunches.
Is that like a thousand?
Three brunches. Three brunches where you can go.
This is more like a food fantasy thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's important as a young chef to invest in those kind of things. Would that be like $1,000 Aussie, would it, a head?
It's about $1,000, yeah.
I've spent that money on those kind of dinners, and it's inspirational, and it inspires you. And it's experienced a once-in-a-lifetime situation.
But it's not something you would do every day, of course.
Generally not, no.
Yeah.
I'd rather go down to the chippy and get fish and chips.
Well, I know where you can get some free food in Dubai.
Well, ladies' night. Anyway, but, exactly right.
I'm going to ask you, coming back, about another story that we're following at the moment. Children are seeing up to 12 adverts for junk food in an hour on television, which is quite shocking. We're going to talk about that and a lot more next, and hopefully we're going to get that lemon tart sorted out. It is live radio on location, so you've got to bear with us, but we're going to get there in the end. If it's the last thing we do today, we are going to get ourselves stuck into that lemon tart. But I believe we've got another clue for our mystery ingredient, and that is...
Guess the ingredient.
Number five.
Clue number five. Today's mystery ingredient is commonly used to season soups, sauces and braises. It also makes a welcome addition in potatoes, rice dishes, vegetables and even fresh bread. Today's mystery ingredient pairs well with other Mediterranean herbs like oregano and marjoram, and is used throughout Italian, French, and Mediterranean cooking.
Arabic cooking, very, very prominent in Arabic cooking as well. Love it. As I said, we love it for breakfast. We left the break moaning that nobody was getting the mystery ingredient right, and lo and behold, lots of correct answers finally coming in. Even Mary's answer is finally correct as well. So well done, Mary's in there with the correct answer. Marilyn, it is that, Marilyn. But what would you call it, the non-Arabic name as well? We're looking for that. So it has an Arabic name and it has a non-Arabic name. We're looking for the specific herb that we've been talking about. Now, if you don't know where we are, if you've just tuned in, we are coming to you live from the Emirates Airline at Dubai Rugby Sevens. We've got the best seat in the house here, and we are watching what's going on. At the moment, Stewie, we've got the US... at 7 and France are at 12.
Yeah, that's the first half just about to finish with the next time the ball goes out of play. It's just finished now. Yeah, so it's 7-12 to France at the minute. It's been some spectacular rugby.
Really?
And the reason I'm struggling to say the word spectacular is because the taste of the lemon tart I've just eaten is on my lips still.
So we have finally made our way to the lemon tart. There was a lot of talk of how we were going to divvy it up. Oh, Stewie, he's still going at it. And he's
being
personally
fed
by Sean Connolly, the creator of this incredible lemon tart. And I can tell you, it's just an explosion of fresh and delicious tanginess in the mouth that has actually made me melt. Can I just put that out there? That I melted the moment I put it in my mouth. It overtakes
your
senses.
Very nice, isn't it?
That's an understatement, yeah.
It's very, very nice. But I can't take full credit. I got this recipe from a famous chef, Marco Pierre White. I was lucky to have a masterclass with him recently in my restaurant in Adelaide called Sean's Kitchen. And he came in for the day, and he put a line through my name and just put Marco's Kitchen. And then he came in and he told the show us all how to make this fantastic lemon tart. So it's pretty special, but no, I'm happy with it.
Tell us about it. What's in it? Why is it so magical?
You know, it's just full of beautiful fresh lemon juice, lots of cream, beautiful short crust pastry. When we cook it, we never put it in the fridge. A lot of my tarts, we never put in the fridge because we feel like it loses its identity. We want to be warm and unctuous and melt in your mouth.
That's exactly what
well,
it does.
Well, you definitely made that one work.
Because I said to you off air, I was just like, I was blown away by the taste of how that gorgeous citrusy tanginess, and there he goes again. She was getting fed, honestly.
Can you make the aeroplane noise this time?
There you go.
It's the last time we ask you out on location, Stewie. But it blows you away because it's so light, it is so fresh, and like you said, because you walked in and just the smell wafted in with you, because you don't actually...
That was my aftershave.
You don't... well, that was you. You don't refrigerate it after you make it.
That's right.
What, like, does it keep it light that way?
Oh, no, just once you chill things down, it loses the flavour. You lose that kind of beautiful, warm, unctuous texture I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's the same when I make a chocolate tart. Whatever's left at the end of the night, we feed to the staff, because we can't use it again. So everything's made fresh, and everything's made... But very rarely do our desserts go in the fridge, apart from our semifredo, the popcorn semifredo.
That is something else, because there's a... Tell us about that, because your passion for duck fat went all the way into the dessert this time. I believe the popcorn is actually cooked in the duck fat. Is that right?
No, actually, it's...
Because that's what we got told.
Standing. They're a bit... They're a bit keen, but no... No, the popcorn we serve at the bar with the fruit cocktails, that's cooked in duck fat.
Mm.
Rather than use butter, we use duck fat in there when we're popping the corn. But no, for our dessert, I don't generally put duck fat in any desserts. I have done in the past, but no, it's just a naturally popped popcorn with butter.
Yeah, and then inside... Once
it's got hazelnut semifredo in there, which is just like an ice cream parfait that's set in a tube. It's the ugliest looking dessert you've ever seen. It looks quite shocking.
It is really ugly.
Yeah.
You're not going to think much of it when it arrives at your table.
People come out and you can see them going all stiff, going, oh, what's this thing?
Thinking,
it's just a big long tube of popcorn and crusted ice cream.
Yeah, because you think, oh, is like this part of the kids' menu or something? But actually...
That's right.
This is what I love about desserts. My favourite desserts are multi-layered like that, with texture and flavour, and this is what you get, and it blows you away.
And then it's the hot salted caramel that you pour over the top. So you get the hot, gooey caramel, you get the crunchiness of the popcorn, then you get the ice-cold parfait in the middle.
There is nothing like it. It was great.
Now I'm going gooey.
Yeah.
I'm melting just thinking about that.
You're going to have to go back and get yourself some more lemon tart, as we've been doing. Don't forget, everything that we're tasting here, thanks to Sean and Igor, is up on our Facebook page. You can check it out there on Dubai I-1038 Facebook page. It is there. We've been Facebook living everything. Lots going on. But you had a story, Stewie, about names?
Knowing that I was coming to the Sevens, there was a couple of things. First of all, I looked at what kind of food was served at certain venues. And did you know that in Denmark there is a Michelin star restaurant in a stadium, in a football stadium?
In Denmark. Tell us more about this.
It's the only one. I wish I had the name of it. But it's the only one. There's weird food all around the world, and there's one Michelin starred restaurant at a stadium in Denmark. And it's just like, how crazy is that? You expect pie and mash? I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
Go down Leeds, probably. Yeah. Go down Leeds. It's pie and mash.
Up Road.
There are some Hill. Stadiums where you can get a pie. It's like an ice cream float, but it's pie in pea soup and stuff. It's the crazy stuff around the world.
Run that by me one more time.
Pea soup is the base, and the pie is just dumped in it.
Right, yeah, the pea pie floater.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Do you do one?
I've done them in the past. I've done a duck pie pea floater.
A duck pie?
Duck pie pea floater with foie gras. Got my first hat or Michelin star with that dish.
Wow.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think to put like pea soup in a pie.
Everything tastes good with mushy peas.
See, that's more of a British thing. That's definitely not an Aussie thing. We don't do that.
No, you do. In Sydney, you've got Harry's Pies down on the water.
I've got to get down to Harry's Pies. No, I haven't had those. No. We just do the, you know.
Where are you from? What part of...
The northwest. I'm from the northwest.
The dark side.
The hills.
Yeah, they don't have pies up in them hills.
They do. I'm sure.
Not my floaters.
The hills have pies.
So cheeky. But tell us, this is a great one.
Well, yeah, we were looking around. Obviously, we've got the mystery ingredient going on. We've mentioned it's a herb and stuff like that. And then we started looking about how crazy parents are.
Especially when it comes to food and names.
Exactly. And there's a list. We've got a list off the internet that there are 27 names that parents are giving their babies that are foods. Now, you'd expect, like, the apple and clementine.
Gwyneth Paltrow did apple, didn't she?
Yeah. Gwyneth and Chris. Saffron, maple, ginger. Yeah, you get that. Mm-hmm. But really, sage.
Sage.
Last year in the world, there were 13 boys named Curry.
What?
13 boys were named
Curry.
Are you
pulling my leg?
I'm not trying to curry favour with you. It's 13 boys.
See what you did there.
We've got Rosemary, Jasmine, Candy. We've got Olive. But Curry, who calls the kid Curry?
If you're called
Curry and you'd like to be emancipated from your parents for that, then give us a call.
Don't make fun of people for their names, that's terrible.
But someone's called Basil. It's okay if you're from Fawlty Towers, yeah. But 22 girls called Basil.
That's just it's
a crime
to think about. What are the other names? Honey, okay, fine. What's this one?
Huckleberry.
Lotus. Maze. Lotus. We've got Brie. Brie as in the cheese?
Yeah, but there's a famous actress called Brie Larson, isn't there? So you kind of... if there's someone in the celebrity life...
That's true.
That we consider.
Brie Larson.
Some geezer's called Stilton.
Stilton.
Someone else is called Camembert.
See, cheese is very popular, it seems. And fruit. Clementine as well. You haven't done that, have you, Sean?
What's that?
What named your kids after food?
No, not at all. No. Just very simple Aussie names.
What's your boy called? Mature Cheddar what?
Almost, but not quite. But we've got to round up those names. Oh, gosh. Lemon? Cherry?
Kale?
Kale, hold on.
Kale?
Now that's
Huckleberry.
That's really something.
That's like a 18th century name.
Huckleberry. I don't know, maybe you've named your kids after food. You loved the name so much. Let us know, 4001 or on the app. But we've got to round it off now because we're about to say goodbye to you, Sean. We want to say thank you so much for the incredible lemon tart.
Thank you. It's been a huge privilege. So much fun to be out here at the Sevens and to be with you guys. It's been an experience.
Yeah, we're just happy that you made it, finally.
He didn't say it was a good experience.
He loved it. We loved it. We loved having you. Dear. And Igor, thank you so much for the beautiful, gorgeous drinks. Really lovely. It just made our afternoon. It just made it all perfect, can I just say? Do you agree?
I 100% agree. I mean, I've drunk all my drink. I've eaten all my pie. I've had a good show so far.
Yeah. Have you ever been spoon-fed by a top chef before?
No.
A world-renowned chef?
No. And I'm gonna. This is going to stay with me forever.
It's the first and last time it's ever happening,
yeah.
Geezer.
First and last time. That's right. But we've got another last clue now to give.
A lot
of people getting it right, but for those who are not quite there, let's
guess the ingredient.
Take that last clue. Number 6.
Okay, today's mystery ingredient is used in Sean Connolly's Birds and Bees mocktail, paired with Granny Smith apple, lemon juice, Manuka honey syrup.
Yes, we're live here from the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens for the Thursday brunch. So much going on here. It's my first time coming out here, Stewie, but this has just been an incredible experience. People are out in the stands. People are out on the pitch. We've got the teams. Now we've got New Zealand and the South Africa. And that's the thing. These games are so fast. It's all going on.
So fast, and the big guns are out there now. It's New Zealand, South Africa. I'm surprised they got drawn in the same pool, to be honest, because they're such big teams.
Exactly.
The first half, they've already had 2 minutes gone, and New Zealand are a try and a conversion up 7-0 against South Africa at the minute. But it is quite an evenly pitched match at the moment.
It's just, this is, we're looking at the women's rugby right now, but they are powerful. They are powerful. They're going for it.
If you were looking at us just as people, you couldn't see that these are girls. They are smashing each other.
But it tells you. It tells you the girls can get it done.
Oh, 100%.
You know that,
skill,
right?
Listen, I would be too scared to get on the pitch of any of these girls. They would crush me.
There is no way any of us are getting out there. But it's just brilliant to watch. It is family day. There's a lot to see and do here. Lots of F&B as well as the action that is on the pitch at the moment. Plenty to do. So come down with the family. It's free to get in, as we were saying.
Yeah, it's family day today. Get down here. Enjoy the day. Get your kids involved in sports. We've got netball going on as well. There's a whole netball tournament. There's like 43 teams playing netball today as well. We've got obviously all of the ladies' teams starting off today with the first pool matches. And again, right now, where can you go with your kids and see New Zealand take on South Africa at rugby?
Just
for free of charge.
Amazing. It really is amazing. There are obviously a lot more matches progressing throughout this long weekend. And you're going to be getting up to some interesting stuff this weekend, too.
What are you doing? If anyone's lucky enough to be in the corporate area, especially if you're friends of DHL, which is obviously one of the sponsors of the Rugby Sevens here, well, you just might meet Elvis Presley this weekend.
What?
You just might meet Elvis Presley. And it might look a bit like me in a suit and a wig.
But it's not. It's the real Elvis.
It's the real Elvis.
It's the real Elvis. He's coming back from the dead 45 years after he died, and 40 years after he died, and he's coming back to perform.
What's he performing? Because, you know, there are the different eras of
he's
Elvis.
He's definitely a Vegas Elvis.
It's the Vegas Elvis.
It's the
rhinestones.
Cheeseburger. The cheeseburger and not long to live Elvis. I can tell you that now.
So is he all decked out in the jewels and
he
everything?
He has got such...
And the sunglasses. Don't forget the sunglasses.
He's definitely got the sunglasses.
Oh, my
goodness.
He's got
the sunglasses. He's got the lamb chops. He's got the...
everything.
Oh, it's amazing.
Speaking of lamb chops, you know, Sean Connolly lamb chops. We were just
talking
about
that. What a lovely guy.
He's so fab. He's so fun.
It's so down to earth and nice, and he knows what he's talking about, and I love that. And he's passionate about what he does. And he fed me some lemon tart. So I'm super happy. This is the best show I've ever done. This is great.
Oh, best lemon tart we've ever had on the Thursday brunch for me ever. I can definitely say that without any kind of bias whatsoever. It's really true. Sometimes you get people on this show and you think, I've got to be nice. I've got to talk really great about the food. But no, this is actually really amazing food. Brilliant, brilliant stuff.
We should mention that while we've been talking, New Zealand are now 19-0 up with 2 minutes left in the first half. 19 left, scored two tries while we've been talking. That's how quick rugby sevens is.
2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes left, in fact. But we've been talking Thursday brunch today, talking about those dishes that you love to cook when you've got a big crowd coming over. You know what? For the Arabs, it's all about rice. You do a lot of rice dishes when you've got crowds of people, because we love crowds. We love big gatherings, big families. That's what we do. We love that. I mean, it depends where you're from as well. Big shout out to anybody who's Indian or Pakistani, because biryani is one of the world's greatest dishes ever. Can I just say how much I love biryani? A really good lamb biryani with some lamb shanks in there and potatoes.
I'm getting hungry again now.
Yeah, that's it. That just really hits the spot. But if you're Jordanian, we do a mensef also with lamb. So it's usually lamb and rice. But so you do a big bed of yellow rice, that because yellow is the color of celebration. So it's actually quite significant. And then you do the braised lamb as well, which cooks for a good couple of hours until it's just about to fall off the bone. And you do it, in fact. And then you serve it with... what is called maris, which is comes from jameed, which is like it's yogurt that's been dried into balls, and then after that you cook that up again and you hydrate it up again, and it is comfort food on another level. And so you just serve up. I remember after my wedding, I came home for lunch the next day, and just massive trays of mensef, so rice with lamb all over it, and just drizzled with that beautiful yogurt dressing. It just was unbelievable. And that was the first time I'd had it. I'd never had it before.
See, I think the Brits, us Brits, we kind of lack behind the world and stuff like that, because we don't have these big family get-togethers.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the Greeks, the Spanish, the Portuguese, yeah. They all do this. The Mediterraneans, they all do this. We get together at Christmas time. And we have a festive season. We have a nice meal then.
Yeah.
And if you do go around someone's house, normally what you'll get fed as a Brit is someone will do a curry.
Nice.
For a start, someone will do some pies and stuff, or some vol-au-vents and stuff like that. You know, the shrimp cocktail. The shrimp cocktail that Sean was talking about. Those kind of things come out. We don't do it.
Yeah.
Like the Mediterranean and the Arabs do it very well.
Very well. That's it. That's our game. That's absolutely our game, and that's how we always roll. We don't make small dishes of anything, so we just love to do that. We love to make sure we're inviting everybody over. This is the time of year, isn't it, Stewie? When the weather is perfect, you invite your friends over, and you just want to share some great food together. So that's what we've been talking about. But I think it's time to reveal our mystery ingredient.
The mystery ingredient today was thyme.
Thyme. And we've had a few people actually call it za'atar, which is fine. I guess that's, you know, the Arabic way of saying it. But we were looking for thyme, because za'atar can also mean the mixture of thyme and other herbs to create the za'atar. And I have that every day for breakfast. Love it. So, so good. I can't believe that's it for us on Dubai
Today.
It's
been a great show. Time flies when you're having fun.
We had so much fun. Stewie, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.